Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Now all went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and she was expecting a child. While they were there, it came time for her to deliver her child. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I think no one knows how to wait. That no one can keep Advent like people who are suffering. No one can wait and keep Advent like people who are hungry, people who are lonely, people who are grieving or oppressed, people who've lost their jobs or their homes. No one can keep Advent like them, except perhaps a pregnant woman. I know something about this. Both of my children were born at Christmas time. In fact, today is my older son's birthday, 27 today. The younger one will be 21 on the 31st. Nobody keeps Advent like a pregnant woman, especially one 9 months pregnant. And I remember when I was pregnant with Paul during Advent, I was huge. With child, I was huge. I was so huge that my skin was splitting and bleeding, and I was crying. And my mother came out to take care of me, and she said, as all good mothers would, "Girl, you need to walk." I said, "Mom, I need someone to break my water." Nobody can keep Advent like a pregnant woman. And that's why when I read this text, I do not hear happiness. This story is so familiar to us. We hear it every year at this time of year, and we hear angels in the heavens bringing good news. We see that beautiful little baby with the halo around him and all the Christmas cards that have that depicted in a million ways. And we think of wonder and light and hope and joy. But I'm telling you, for a woman who's 9 months pregnant, it is not good news, this story. Can you imagine being like I was when I was pregnant with Paul and being in Nazareth and the government telling me that I have to walk 45, 50, 60 miles from my home to Bethlehem? I'm telling you, this was not good news for Mary and Joseph. And I'm telling you, that's what the government does to people. At that time, the Caesar could just say, "There's a census, go." And people had to go. And I'm really glad it doesn't work like that now, because I'm really not interested in walking to Burbank, California tonight. In some ways, we're much relieved in our life, but in others, not. Because even if the strains of government change and ebb and flow and fall away, we cannot escape the troubles of our world. We cannot escape the strains of our economy. We cannot escape the way that death rips our loved ones away. We cannot escape the job loss that comes to us, the way our houses fall apart and have to be put back together. And we cannot escape, sorry to say this, Jacqueline, the delivery that's ahead of us. We know there's joy on the other side of it, but we have to get there. We have to get there. And perhaps the even worse news is there's nothing you can do about it. It's coming. There's no one that keeps Advent like we do when we're hungry and yearning and hurting and told we have to bear things we would rather not know. Mary took her child and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. But that baby came anyway. That baby came even though they had to do all that walking and even though her skin was splitting and she was bleeding and hurting. The baby came anyway. God entered into that journey. God entered into that waiting and into that heartache and into that pain and into the things the government did and into the economy and into their loneliness and into their trouble. God came. God always comes. See? God always comes. God doesn't leave us to face our trouble alone. And not only does God come, but God comes as one of us. God enters right into the mess. God entered right into Mary's pain and suffering and the hardship of that journey. God entered into their wedlock. God enters into your pain and into your waiting and into your grieving and your hunger and your wanting and your loss. That's the real miracle of Christmas. It's not the miracle on 34th Street or A Christmas Story or Scrooge, none of that. It's not the sale at the bay, nor Toys R Us. The real miracle of Christmas is that God comes to us just where we are, just as we are. The miracle of Christmas is that God not only knows what's going on with you, but God cares. And God cares enough not to send an ambassador or a Christmas card or a letter, but to come God's very self. And God has been coming like that to people for as long as there have been people. On that night 2,000 years ago, there was no place in the inn. And so God came to the place where there was a place. To that cruddy old manger feed trough. To that ragged and beat up little couple. And God comes that way to you. Because God knows you have a place. You have a place in a manger inside of you to receive that child, the Holy One of God, Emmanuel. In your waiting, in your hoping, in your longing, feel him come to you, even now. Merry Christmas.